above called Haranamu, and she became a Sita Devi, the mother of all opulence. The Kshatriya spirit is displayed during marriage festivals, and there is nothing wrong in such faith. Lord Sri Krishna discharged such responsibility fully, because although he had more than 16,000 wives, in each and every case he fought like a chivalrous Kshatriya and thus secured a wife. To fight 16,000 times to secure 16,000 wives is certainly possible only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, he displayed all the full responsibility in every action in his different transcendental pastimes. The 14th quality knowledge can be further extended into five subheadings, namely intelligence, gratefulness, power of understanding, the circumstantial environments of place, object, and time, perfect knowledge of everything, and knowledge of the self. Only fools are ungrateful to their benefactors. The Lord, however, does not require benefit from anyone besides himself, because he is full of himself. So, still he feels benefited by the unalloyed services of his devotees. The Lord feels grateful to his devotees for such unsophisticated, unconditional service, and tries to reciprocate it by rendering service, although the devotee also has no desire in his heart. The transcendental service of the Lord is itself a transcendental benefit for the devotee, and therefore the devotee has nothing to expect from the Lord. On the assertion of the Vedic aphorism, Sakam Kalji Dham Brahma, we can understand that the Lord, by the omnipresent rays of effulgence called Brahma Jyoti, is operating inside and outside of everything, like the omnipresent material sky, and thus he is also omniscient. As far as the beauty of the Lord is concerned, he has some special features that distinguish him from all other living beings, and over and above that, he has some special, attractive, beautiful features by which he attracts the mind and even Radharani, the supermost beautiful creation of the Lord. He is known, therefore, as Madhmanohan, or one who attracts the mind of even Cupid. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada scrutinizing and analyzed other transcendental qualities of the Lord and affirms that Lord Sri Krishna is the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. He is omnipotent by his inconceivable energies, and therefore he is Yogeshwara, or the Supreme Master of all mystic powers. Being the Yogeshwara, his eternal form is spiritual, a combination of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. The non-devotee class cannot understand the dynamic nature of his knowledge because they are satisfied to reach up to his eternal form of knowledge. All great souls aspire to equal the knowledge of him. This means that all other knowledge is either insufficient, inflexible, and measurable, whereas the knowledge of the Lord is ever-fixed and unfathomable. Srila Sukha Goswami affirms in the Bhagavatam that although he was observed by the citizens of Dwarka every day, they were ever increasingly anxious to see him again and again. The living beings can appreciate the qualities of the Lord as the ultimate goal, but they cannot attain the status quo such equality. This material world is a product of the Mahatattva, which is a state of the Lord's dream condition in his yoga nidra, mystic slumber in the causal ocean. And yet the whole creation appears to be a factual representation of his creation. This means that the Lord's dreaming conditions are also factual manifestations. He can therefore bring everything under his transcendental control, and thus, whenever and wherever he does appear, he does so in his fullness. The Lord, being all that is described above, maintains the affairs of creation. By his so doing, he gives salvation even to his enemies who are killed by him. He is attractive even to the topmost liberated soul, and thus he is worshipable even by Brahma and Shiva, the greatest of all demigods. Even in his incarnation of Purusha Avatar, he is the Lord of the creative energy. The creative material energy is working under his direction, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Heat up. Heat is the control switch of the material energy, and to control the material energy in innumerable universes, he is the root cause of innumerable incarnations in all the universes. There are more than 500,000 incarnations of Manu in only one universe, besides other incarnations in different universes. In the spiritual world, however, beyond the Mahatattva, there is no question of incarnations, but there are plenary expansions of the Lord in different Vaikunthas. The planets in the spiritual sky are at least 3 times the number of those within the innumerable universes in the Mahatattva, and all the Narayana forms of the Lord are but expansions of his Vasudeva feature, and thus he is Vasudeva, Narayana, and Krishna simultaneously. He is Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murari, He Nata, Narayana, Vasudeva, all in one. His qualities, therefore, cannot be counted by anyone, however great one may be. So here we have a whole list of qualities of Krishna. And as Prabhupada quotes at the beginning here, actually this is just a sample of the qualities of the Supreme Lord, because none of his qualities are static, and whenever he performs activities, he displays qualities. And those qualities are always fresh, as if inexperienced before, even by devotees who have experienced the Lord. So the qualities always appear newer and newer. So if he has a quality like humility, that's one quality, but every time he shows humility, it's somewhat different. And it becomes more surprising and more surprising every time he shows his quality of humility. So similarly for all these other qualities, whenever he shows them, they're always something a little bit different. So this way, the qualities can be expanded until they are uncountable or innumerable. This is somewhat referred to at the beginning here, where Jiva Goswami says we can take one of these qualities and subdivide it, intolerance of another's unhappiness or compassion, and then we can start dividing that into two, protection of unsurrendered souls and being well-wisher of the devotees. So, in different circumstances, the Lord shows his mercy in different ways to different jivas. So the importance of this is to show the attractive nature of the Supreme Lord. The question was asked, why are you grieving? And so the cow, the earth, they're saying, I'm grieving because Krishna has departed. He's no longer here. And because he's absent, then the opposite happens. We end up with a place with no qualities at all. It's Kali Yuga. So the Lord, in any of his forms, is all attractive, and therefore we can enumerate to some degree the qualities of the Lord. But we see in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Rupa Goswami, he gives 64 qualities of the Lord, but 50 are qualities which the jiva can also achieve in small quantity. And then we have 5 more qualities that Shiva can display, and we have 5 more qualities that Vishnu forms can display. So then Vishnu forms can display 60 qualities. And then we have 4 extra qualities for Krishna. Qualities are there in all the forms of the Lord, but some forms display more qualities than others. Some will display particular qualities more strongly than other qualities. And then Krishna displays qualities the others don't really display. So therefore we can also say that Krishna is therefore the most attractive, because he displays more qualities than the others. And even if he displays similar qualities out of 60, When he displays them, they become more remarkable than when the other forms of the Lord display them. And thus, the name Krishna is very suitable for Krishna, because that means, well, attractive. He's the most attractive form. So we don't want to criticize other forms of the Lord, because actually they're non-different. So Rupa Goswami states that. He says, Siddhantatas Abhaya, by Siddhanta, according to our philosophical position, there is no difference between Vishnu and Krishna. They're one entity. We can't say they're two different persons. One person, but manifesting different forms. So therefore, in that sense, in one sense, we cannot say one is superior to the other, because they're all one anyway. And how you could say this form of God is inferior to that form of God? How can God be inferior to anyone, because he's ultimate? So in that sense, we don't want to criticize other forms of God. Nevertheless, because God does manifest different forms, in those different forms will have different amounts of qualities manifest. I gave the example of the moon. So every night we can look at the moon. Now it is getting smaller and smaller and smaller after the morning. It's still one moon. But every day it's giving less light and less light and less light. So in a few days, even if the moon is out, it's quite dark because there's only a little sliver of the moon there. And then after that, it seems to disappear. And then again, it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So one moon displays different amounts of light. So similarly, one Supreme Lord displays different amounts of qualities in these different forms. Okay? So they're just like the phases of the moon. And so some forms can be classed as the Tritiya, or the Tritiya, or the Chaturthi, and then we get up to the Dasami, the Kalasi, and Dwadasi, and Triodasi, and Chaturdasi, and Purnima. When you get to Purnima, then that's Krishna. That form of the Lord who manifests the most qualities of all, and the others manifesting less. In that sense, then we say, yes, Krishna is superior to the other forms. Of course, a more accurate way of saying that is the form of Krishna manifests all qualities in the most spectacular way that the other forms don't. That's all. And therefore, we put him in a special position. We call him Swayam Bhagavan. So, yeah, it's very difficult to enumerate all of those qualities, but just to give us a comparison between the different forms, the Nectar Devotion classifies that Krishna's got four extra qualities, Vishnu has 60 qualities, Shiva gets 55 qualities, Jivas can manifest 50 of those qualities a little bit. And we have to understand that these qualities are not material. The controversy always arises because many people will say, how do you think of qualities to a spiritual entity? Because qualities are material. You see this list of truthfulness, cleanliness, intolerance, of others and happiness, power to control anger, self-satisfaction, straightforwardness. These are qualities that belong to the material world. And when we see a person who has these qualities, then we say, oh, he's a very nice person. And if he doesn't have the qualities, we say he's a very bad person. So they are material qualities. So how would we say that God has these qualities if he's supposed to be spiritual? So this, of course, is the impersonal aspect of God. Yes, God has an impersonal aspect where he doesn't expect qualities at all. But there is another form of the Lord who has qualities. Those qualities are expressed in particular forms of the Lord, such as Ramchandra, or Nrsimhadeva, or Krishna. Those qualities are not material qualities. We give them the same name, but they're different. The qualities in the material world all arise through the gunas, and they're all temporary. And when a person disappears, the quality disappears. And when all the universe disappears, all the gunas which produce the qualities also disappear into property. So they are temporary things. But when these qualities manifest in the Supreme Lord, they are eternal. They are never subject to destruction. And even if the jiva attains the spiritual world, then he also gets qualities which are eternal. He manifests eternal qualities also. So that when we speak of qualities in the Lord, or qualities in the devotees of the Lord in the spiritual world, they are different from the material qualities. So we should not have faced this objection, how you can get qualities in the Supreme Lord, because all the qualities we see here are material. Answer is, no, they're not material. They're not subject to decay. They have no fault. They're not, they do not arise through the goodness of material nature. They arise through the very nature of the Supreme Lord. And through the his expansions of the devotees in the spiritual world. So, we can say that another way of saying this is that the quality, any good quality that manifests in the material world is a reflection of a quality in the spiritual world. So, if the Lord has truthfulness and cleanliness, these qualities are reflected here in the material quality of truthfulness and cleanliness. And therefore, they look similar. We can extend that further and say, because there are forms in the spiritual world, beautiful forms, like Ramchandra or Krishna, therefore there are beautiful forms in the material world also. Or, we can also say, because there are relationships in the spiritual world, such as Madhurya Rasa, or Satya Rasa, or Vatsalya Rasa, or Dasya Rasa, or Shankar Rasa, therefore, in the material world, we also have these relationships. So we have friendship among friends, we have the love of the mother for the child, we have conjugal love relationship, we have servitude, and we have Shankar Rasa also. So it's not like the spiritual world is material because it has the same qualities. Rather, the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So therefore, there are similarities there. But the material qualities, the material rasas, the material forms are temporary and imperfect, and therefore they are reflections. But there's a similarity. Because of the similarity, then we can, to some degree, understand the spiritual nature of the Lord, the spiritual nature of rasas, etc. Because they're so similar. So we can, by that, we can understand something of the nature of the spiritual world. But in all cases, we understand that whenever we're talking about spiritual world, everything there is eternal and perfect, not subject to any fault. Things in the material world, opposite, subject to faults. So here we have all these wonderful qualities of the Supreme Lord. We often emphasize the qualities of the Lord because these qualities are a form of attraction for the Lord. If the Lord doesn't have any qualities, how can we become attracted to Him? So we have rasas, like dasya rasa. So in dasya rasa, we're a servant and we become attracted to the Supreme Lord. So why are we attracted to Him? Because he has qualities that show him as an ideal master whom we can serve nicely. So the dasa rasa is based upon
the attraction of the jiva to the Supreme Lord, because he has wonderful qualities. And of course, a wonderful form. And we'll have the same analogy in the material world. Why are people attracted to other people? Because of the form. The man looks nice, or the woman looks nice in form. The other is qualities. They have nice qualities. You become attracted to the personality. So, therefore, it's natural for the Lord to display his wonderful qualities and his wonderful form. As well, how do the qualities manifest? How do we understand the Lord has a particular quality, like chivalry? And as Prabhupada explains in the purport, we have many examples of Krishna showing his chivalry through different actions, different pastimes. He steals from me, steals different queens. He fights with the Kshatriyas. This is chivalry manifesting. So the qualities of the Lord are often manifested through pastimes, through actions. So the, all three things go together: the actions of the Lord, the qualities of the form of the Lord, and the form of the Lord. And that way, the jiva can establish his relationship of love with the Supreme Lord by experiencing the qualities, the form, and the activities of the Lord. So they're all necessary. And they're actually intrinsic in the Lord when he displays himself as Bhagavan. And we'll see the same thing in the material world. How do we define an object, even scientifically? One is how it behaves, its activity. And from that we understand its qualities. And then it has a particular form, it may be liquid, it may be solid, it may be gas, or whatever like that. So again, form, quality, activity, we get an understanding of something in the material world because of this particular quality. Once we understand it, can we say, this is a good object, or this is a good element, this is not so nice because it's not good for my health, or whatever. So, if we want to develop material relationships with things, we have to know form, quality, activity. We want to have a relationship with the Lord and rasa, and experience bliss, then we have to understand form, quality, and activity of the Lord. So that's what is explained in the Bhagavatam. Particularly in the 10th canto, is the beautiful form of the Lord, the wonderful qualities of the Lord, and the most astonishing, attractive activities of Krishna. So, each form of the Lord will display form, qualities, activities. And they're all beautiful, they're all perfect, and they display wonderful qualities, etc. Krishna displays the most astonishing form. So astonishing that even Krishna is astonished by it. And the most attractive qualities, of which here we have one list, and in Nectar Goshen another list of four qualities. And most astonishing activities. So these are all there in Krishna. So in the four qualities of Krishna, we get that expressed again. The four extra qualities of Krishna are Madhurya Rupa, special form. His form is particularly beautiful in such a way that it evokes a very intimate type of love. So when you see the form of Krishna, you get a very sweet type of love. And so that is not manifested in the other form. Certainly love is manifested, but it is not so sweet. The form of Krishna is the cowherd boy, dressed in his cowherd costume, or in his wrestling costume, or his acting costume, and dancing costume, whatever. It becomes very, very attractive. And that's his Madhurya Rupa. And we have his Madhurya Lila, very sweet pastimes. His activities are extraordinarily sweet, and through those sweet activities, then we realize his sweet qualities, such as the Dhamma pastime. So there, Krishna gets tied up by Maya Sora. So that does not happen in the other forms of the Lord. But it happens here because of Krishna's relationship with Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda is the mother, and she must discipline Krishna. And out of love, Krishna agrees to be disciplined by being tied up. So that is a remarkable pastime. But what that shows is Krishna's quality. What is his quality? He is controlled by his devotee. Mother Yasoda wants to tie him up, Krishna gets tied up. He submits to his devotee. So, of course, all the forms of the Lord respond to their devotees, and they have remarkable pastimes, but Krishna's pastimes are most astonishing, most attractive, and the qualities that are manifested are more extraordinary than with any other form of the Lord. So, therefore, we put Krishna in this very, very special category. So when Krishna was present and he performed pastimes with his devotees, including the Pandavas, then the earth was most fortunate because everyone could experience Krishna's form and his qualities and his activities, and they would get highest rasa. And if Krishna disappears, everybody's unfortunate. So apart from the spread of Adharma, just the absence of Krishna is a great misfortune for the world. The world was very fortunate, earth was very fortunate, because Krishna was walking on the earth with his lotus feet and giving blessings to the earth. Just by touching the ground and putting his footmarks on there with the sign of the lotus and the thunderbolt on his foot. The foot touching the earth was ecstatic for the earth. Krishna leaves then. Very inauspicious separation from the Lord. So this, the absence of the Lord, is very disturbing for the earth. But then the other problem is, when the Lord goes, he takes Dharma with him. So what is left on earth is Adharma. That is, Kali Yuga starts and all the bad qualities manifest. So this is further misfortune for the earth. So when the Lord is present, everything is wonderful. When the Lord is absent, we get all bad qualities. So that is the solution ultimately. How do we restore the earth? How do we make the earth happy? Bring it back. Well, we can't do that because Krishna has his law that he's only going to appear once in the day of Brahma. And that time has passed, and we have to wait for another kalpa of Brahma, another day of Brahma for him to appear. So that's not going to happen. Then we have the alternative, well, other forms of the Lord. So we give the portion of having Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-dual form, Swami Bhagavan, who is another form of Krishna himself. He's not in the lesser category, but he has the mood of Radha, which is even more remarkable, because then he's more merciful. So that's a good fortune for Kali Yuga, which replaces the misfortune of Kali Yuga. But of course, we can say, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also disappeared now, he's not there either. That's true. So the alternative gate is, we can invoke the presence of Krishna by his name. So that's the special blessing of Kali Yuga. It's full of faults, but we do have Krishna, Namasankirtan, and we have the presence of Krishna again, and that's why Krishna becomes happy again. Jiva gets highest blessing. Okay,
so, Jay, you mentioned previously once in a day Brahma, Krishna, Bhagavan Swayam Krishna appears, and the other 999 Dwapara Yugas, it's a form of Vishnu. But when we're talking about the Das Avatar, so different people claim that because Krishna and Balaram are on that list of the Das Avatar, it's mentioned Vishnu, therefore that Krishna Balaram is also Vishnu and not the original Swayam Bhagavan. So how would we counter that argument?
Well, being original or non-original doesn't make too much sense because we say this form of the Lord is eternal. So however he appears, we can say that Krishna is not eternal because he was born in the prison house of, you know, from Devaki and Vasudev. So how can he be eternal? Obviously we know he is eternal. And that's just a pastime that he manifests himself as the child of Vasudev and Devaki there. But he's actually eternal. So it doesn't really matter where he comes from. Whether he comes from Vishnu or Vishnu comes from Krishna, ultimately, what we want to say is that Krishna manifests these special qualities of sweetness that Vishnu does not. So that gives a special bliss that is not available there, a more intense bliss. Because of that, we put Krishna in higher position.
So this,
of course, first and second doesn't really matter because, you know, it keeps repeating itself over and over again, so it doesn't really matter who's first, who's second, or whatever.
So this avatar, these 10 avatars, that's more or less like an eternal list of avatars. I mean, it doesn't change according to universes.
Well, we have more avatars than that, as we see in the first canto itself. We get 22, I think, there, then we get another list in the second canto. And that doesn't exhaust the avatars because then we have that's only the Leela avatars, then we get the Manvantara avatars and the Yuga avatars besides that. So 10 avatars is probably because of Jayadev's poem, maybe that he puts those in there. But there's only 10 avatars. And then they keep appearing in all the different universes again and again and again, and every day of Brahma, they're all still appearing.
That was a nice list that's given in the Bhagavad Gita, kind of all good qualities given the jury considering those qualities.
Yeah.
But you know, if the list was composed by the Vrindavan Vasis, there would be some jury bad qualities, like is it cheap and thief and so on and so forth. Can you speak and
when you control the quality?
And when you try and transfer that into the material world, then they're no longer good qualities.
Bad
qualities are efficient.
Yeah. So we have all the good qualities, and then particularly in Krishna, not so much in the other forms, but in Krishna, he seems to show the bad qualities also. So he may steal and lie and cheat or do whatever, particularly in his Vrindavan pastime. So how do we account for that? So of course these are parts of the pastimes in the spiritual world, and it increases rasa. And so how do we explain it though? Why would he cheat? Why would he steal or lie? In one sense, we can say this is the achintya nature of the Lord. Achintya means that inconceivable. So usually it's inconceivable because we have contradiction. So for instance, philosophically speaking, contradiction is Veda and Aveda. Only one entity exists. Or many entities exist. Only Brahman exists, or Brahman, Jivas, and Prakriti exist. That's Veda. Aveda is only Brahman exists. So, one or the other. So, the Shankara should say, Aveda, only Brahman exists. Vaishnava would say, no, there is Brahman, there is Jiva, and there is Prakriti, Dvaita, or Veda. Lord Chaitanya says, both. How is it possible to have both? But there's only one Brahman, but there's Brahman, Jiva, and Krishna. It's a contradiction. How do we solve it? Achintya. Achintya Shakti of the Lord. So he can be one, and nothing else exists, or we think it exists. Why? Because of the Achintya Shakti of the Lord. So that's contradiction. So then we have qualities. One of the qualities, you can say, is truthfulness. But then Krishna lies. I didn't even hurt. So, okay, it's contrary quality. How can we say that Krishna's manifest truthfulness when he's telling a lie? We say that again, achintya, this is the nature of Krishna. He can do the opposite. But even if he does the opposite, it doesn't in any way become a bad quality. Again, in the Dhammadharma, we find that Krishna gets tied up.
But he's a supreme independent. He binds up all the jivas with karma. How can the Lord get tied up by anything? But he gets tied up by prema. So due to prema, then we'll see things which look contrary to the normal qualities. It's because of prema that Krishna may lie, that he may get tied up or whatever. And we see it in the Dhammadharita also. Krishna shows fear and he cries when he sees the stick that Mother Yasoda is holding. But the Supreme Lord is fearless. Why? And how can he cry? Weep, not tears. So it looks like contradiction. So the Lord is a jinja and he can show the opposite quality. What he does is great quality. So these are all just aspects of Krishna. Now these are the qualities, spiritual qualities. Then we can also list the other qualities, lying, cheating, etc., spiritual qualities of Krishna. But that would confuse people. But they're actually his qualities also. But they actually are within the positive qualities. In other words, just like we have the secondary rasas, but they depend on the primary rasas. So we have secondary rasas of fear and anger and disgust and lamentation. How can that exist in the spiritual world? There are some categories that get attached to the primary rasas of Mandurya or Sakya or Vasalya, etc. Within that, then you get a little fear, which stimulates the rasa. So in other words, the bad qualities or the bad rasas or whatever, they support and nourish the positive qualities. So that's how they exist in the spiritual world, to increase the rasa.
Devotions, they don't want anything, but devotion service itself is a reward.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking how interesting it is that when we hear about devotees like Sri Prabhupada, then even mentioned that when we hear about Krishna and the residents of Dwarka, it was able to pray. So also that is manifest in the pure devotees of Krishna, that even when we keep hearing the content of Sri Prabhupada, remains able to preach and it's purifying. So that is also manifest in the devotees that able to preach. The able to preach, the residents in Dwarka, they always look forward to seeing Krishna. So it's also manifest that able to preach is in the pure devotees of Krishna. For example, Srila Prabhupada, because he's even hearing this pastime, it's still able to preach, but it's also visible in the jiva as well.
What is that visible?
Well, that able to preach quality of the able to preach.
Ever fresh.
Ever fresh quality. Okay, so yeah, all the qualities in the spiritual world are ever fresh. They never get boring. In other words, Krishna shows the quality. Or even the devotees there, the gopi show qualities, it's always ever fresh. And there's a certain stage of love, anuraga. It's everything is ever fresh, so the love is always surprising. It keeps changing every time it gets experienced. So the whole nature of the spiritual world is like that. Nothing is ever boring or repetitive. In spite of the fact that the pastimes do repeat themselves every day. Krishna going out in the field every day, Krishna heard the cows every day, Krishna coming back in the evening every day, but it's different every day. So that's in the spiritual world. Also when Krishna manifests his activities here in the material world. And the devotees also, who are connected with Krishna, they display the qualities which are spiritual, not material. And those qualities also manifest in ever fresh ways. So, when we're in sadhana, then we can hear about Krishna and his activities and we can appreciate them. And again, as we advance, then we get new experiences or we can appreciate those qualities in newer and newer ways because of our advancement. And even if we're most advanced, still, the qualities will keep changing according to, because they're spiritual. It's not static at all. And the same goes with the devotees of the Lord, because the qualities and the activities of the devotees of the Lord become attractive. And again, they're spiritual, so therefore, there's never any, more than those activities or qualities. The qualities and activities of the spiritual world are similar to the material activities, but they're also different. And they're perfect in all ways. So the material qualities are temporary and imperfect. So a quality like beauty is there, but then if you look closely, you'll see it fall somewhere. And taste, you have a nice taste, but then when you taste, it gets boring. It's no longer a sweet taste, it becomes neutral. So everything has a defect in the material world, and therefore, ultimately, the good qualities are no longer good qualities anymore. They become useless qualities, or temporary qualities, but spiritual world, not like that. They're always very attractive. Okay.